1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Somebody say that's me. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice what it says. For which in times past you were not a people, but now are the people of God. Somebody say that's me. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. Somebody say that's me. Let me hear you. That's me. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest. Notice what it says. Honest amongst the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may be good, that they might be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. God chose us, or just simply the word chosen. Chosen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. Go ahead. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Peter wrote this to the Christians, and they were suffering at this time. And the Jewish Christians were driven out of Jerusalem and were scattered throughout Asia Minor. It is believed, and we understand the scripture, and historians will tell us that the Apostle Peter was in Rome when he was perhaps writing this, and the Christians, the Jewish Christians, had suffered great persecution under the Emperor Nero during this time. And eventually, the Apostle Peter was crucified upside down on a cross. And throughout the Roman Empire, the Christians were being persecuted and they were being killed and tortured for their faith. And the church in Jerusalem, the apostolic church, our beginning, the church was scattered abroad. And because it was scattered abroad, the gospel message was scattered abroad. And as the people scattered, so did the Acts 2:38 message. In fact, we see this in some totality in Acts chapter 8 around the conversion of Paul. But Peter, the Apostle Peter, when writing 1 Peter and 2 Peter, but specifically 1 Peter, his single focus is encouraging the Christians to exhibit faithfulness under this pressure. In fact, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad that the Lord has chosen me and has chosen you and has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him. And I'm thankful today for the mercy and for the love and for the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful tonight for baptism in Jesus' name. I'm thankful tonight for a church that, even though the church tonight is scattered across the greater Central Coast and scattered across the Santa Maria Valley, we are still the church of the living God. And he has chosen us for such a time as this. Now, everything within me, in my flesh and in my pastoral style, I wanted so desperately the last couple Wednesday nights to teach, but in my spirit and the unctioning of the Holy Ghost would not allow me to teach. And so I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost and just roll with what I feel the Lord has given me. But do you remember as a kid being picking teams for a sporting event on the playground? Maybe it was basketball or baseball on the playground. Anybody remember that? And maybe it was a football game. Maybe it was, back in my day, there was no such thing as two-hand touch. It was tackle all the way, baby. That's all we played. But anyways, you would have two captains, and one, they would take turns picking teams. And so the captains would pick the teams, and that was your team. And everyone would eventually get picked, and you played on the team. But But you had to play on the team. You couldn't just be on the team and not play. There was because there was just enough players to make up a team sometimes, and so you would play. And whether it was your turn to bat or not, you were doing your part of being on the team. If you weren't up to bat and your team was waiting to get into the batter's box and swing the bat, you would heckle the pitcher. You'd be like, "Hey, pitcher," and you would say things about them and everyone else they were related to, and you would make fun of their cleat and their shirt, how they wore their hat, and if you were on the bench and your team was playing basketball, you would call out things to the ref and say, "What's the matter with you, ref? Can't you see?" Or you would make stuff up. You would make up chants, and you would say, "Hey, air ball!" You know, you would do crazy things like that, and because you were part of the team. And if you know anything about a team, not everybody gets the ball, and not everybody is going to run the ball. Not everybody gets to even play the entire time, but you're still part of the team, and everybody's position is different. And I've said this before, but in football, and there's a thing about kicking a field goal, and there's Sobrino, there's somebody that has to hold the football on his toe and then with his finger, and then there's only one guy that gets up to kick the football. But we have to understand what's more important, the guy holding the football, the guy's blocking so the man could kick the football, or the kicker himself. What's more important? And I think we can make an argument that they're all important. They're all on the team. They all have a job to do and a responsibility, and they're all chosen for that purpose and for that time. And oh, what a time that God has called us. And oh, what a time that God has chosen us here to be part of the end time apostolic Pentecostal church. And he has called each of us for such a time. And it's up to us to do our part, regardless of how things look and feel. The scripture declares that we are chosen, but not just chosen, but the scripture says that you are a chosen, or we are a chosen generation. I believe and I think and I hope that the eyes of many in the church, not just in our local church, Revival Tabernacle, but in the church wide, worldwide, that what we are enduring and experiencing has made us feel out of sorts. Things aren't just the same. Not just in our church as a church body or as Christians or at Revival Tabernacle, but in our life and in our world, our immediate world. But that's okay, because it's okay for not everything to be okay. And it's okay for things to be different. But can I remind you that God is still the same. And the same God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness and into the promised land is the same God that is working with us. And it's the same God that gave us the Holy Ghost and has filled us, amen, with His Spirit. And we have been covered in His name in baptism, fully immersed in water. It's the same God that has forgiven us. It's the same God that loves us. It's the same God that has healed you. It's the same God that has healed people in the scriptures. The same God that has delivered you has delivered people in the scriptures. It's the same God that was Jehovah Jireh with Abraham on the mountain. It's the same Jehovah Jireh that we serve tonight. It's the same God that was Jehovah Shalom. It's the same God that was Jehovah Rapha in the scripture. It's the same God that we serve today. He is God, and He doesn't change. And we've been chosen. We've been chosen. Somebody say, "I'm chosen for such a time as this." God doesn't change. In fact, the scripture tells us, Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord and I change not." Don't you think that if God is God enough to save us, that He's God enough to keep us and protect? Don't you think that if God delivered you, that God can sustain you? It's not rather if God can, but rather will we yield to Him and surrender to Him? Are we going to be obedient to Him? Are we going to be submitted to Him and His plan? I've watched how so many people that are stubborn, hard-headed, which is not a spiritual gift, by the way. And we know what the Scripture tells about that. It's dabbling in witchcraft. But I've watched how folks that they are extreme, do it my way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know better. I'm not submitted. Rebellious by nature. They put so much value into their jobs, into their careers, into their hobbies, that they're submitting to something they can't see. They're sheltering in. We're all submitting. Listen, the pastor. We're all submitting to a request in regards to a virus that we cannot see with a naked eye. Come on, somebody. We've seen things stop, get canceled, postponed. We've all made adjustments, some of them very inconvenient and frustrating. Our schedules have been affected. Our finances have been affected. Your finances have been affected. Mine has been affected. The church's finances have been affected. Your neighbor's finances have been affected. Everybody is dealing with this in its own way. We wait in line regardless if we're VIP. We cannot go into certain places unless we meet the criteria. Here, Pastor, hear me. There are some things that money cannot buy right now, even if you had the money. Some places are off limits, and we deal with it. Yeah. How we even look in public has been affected. Come on, somebody. I wish I had my mask. It's on my desk. I wish I had that. But it even looks odd. It looks strange. It's not what we're used to, right? But because we as a society are fighting a virus that we cannot see, we do it anyways because we want to slow the spread of this pandemic. We hear the words that we hear the words, have you been exposed? The question is asked, are you exposed? Thank you to my lovely bride. Custom made with love from somebody in the church for their pastor. But when we walk around like this, and if you're like me, your glasses get fogged up. Right? Now they're taking pictures of Pastor with his mask on, right? Probably a good thing. And so every so often I have to take my glasses off. And then they get fogged up. Sobrino, look, I can't see. And then I take them off. And then I put them back on. And it's fogged up. And so I walk around and just like they think I have, some folks think I have OCD already. But I'm putting it on and I'm taking it off and putting it on, taking it off. And I got them in my bag and I got it in my car and I got it everywhere. I got these masks everywhere. It's coming off now, but I'll put it back on. But we have these masks. We have these masks that we put on. And some of us have been carrying a mask and been walking around with a mask for a long time. You've been hiding. You've been hiding things from God that you thought God couldn't see, but God sees it because you're chosen. It was Adam in the garden and it was Eve in the garden that they ate of that forbidden fruit and they were afraid. And that's the first human emotion, was afraid. Adam said, I was afraid. Who told him that God was upset with them? Nobody told him anything. They had never experienced that emotion before of being afraid. But God comes in and he says, Adam, where are you? Because God saw everything. And can I tell you, there's a God that we serve that though we cannot see him at times with the naked eye, he sees us, he knows us, he calls it like it is, and he's coming back for a church and a people that are ready. And we've been called, we've been chosen, we've been appointed for such a time as this. But we have this virus. We hear the words, have they been exposed? Temperatures are being tested or taken. Limiting how many people can go into a certain place. In fact, you can't even go into certain places unless you're covered up. That's the world we're all living. This is real time. Not something that we heard about back in the 1900s. This is our reality right now because of our virus. Something that is real, but we don't necessarily see it. People are covering up. We're taking real precautions at the recommendation of experts because of science and facts. These precautions are necessary. We're all on alert, and we're all in our own way a little irritated and frustrated, and we need to understand something, that it's because of our human nature, but what has been asked of us is temporary. Can I tell you, even if this goes on a little bit longer than we want it to, can I tell you, this won't last forever. Oh, Pastor, how can you say that? It's because we are eternal driven. We are headed to a place called heaven. The place here on earth is temporary. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. But we're on the lookout. We're on alert. We're aware. The Bible says for us to be aware spiritually. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes around seeking. I have never, Brother Carlos, seen the devil in totality, but I've seen the works or the manifestation of evil and demonic people and possessed people. And I know that the weapons that we fight are not carnal, but they're mighty. We're fighting against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You're not going to see everything that you're up against, but can I tell you, it's a real spiritual war, and the devil and life and circumstance is going to happen whether we want to or deal with it or not. But we've been chosen and called and appointed for such a time as this. It's been very refreshing to see the real, genuine care that people have one for another. Very refreshing. It's been refreshing to see the unity and care across the community, not just in the church. This has always been a very caring and giving church, but just across the comments and questions like, are you okay? Do you need anything? We're relying on man's wisdom. We're relying on man's training. We're relying on man's facts, man's testing, man's insight, based on what they see, what they know, what they project, what they can hypothesize, based off of their data, science, wisdom, training, and professional recommendations. This is real, folks. This is very much our reality. And it doesn't matter your opinion, your perspective, your socioeconomic lifestyle or status. It doesn't matter your training. It doesn't matter your affiliation. Whether you think it's politics, conspiracies, or from the devil himself, that's all really irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, it is real and it is happening, and it has even been referred to as the invisible enemy. Can I tell you, we have an enemy too. We have an enemy that is after our families and after our souls, after your ministries, after your walk with God, because you have been chosen and called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and you have a purpose. You have a reason to let your light shine. And if He can blow out your light, if He can cause you to backslide, if He can cause you to quit, if He can cause you to get frustrated, then He wins. But can I tell you, ain't no devil gonna take my shout, my Holy Ghost, my anointing, my family, my church, my ministry, my stewardship. Ain't no devil in hell, and I'm going to put him back right where he belongs. The God of peace shall bruise this Satan under my feet. Somebody give God a praise. We hear words like asymptomatic. It's a medical term. I'm not even sure I've ever heard of that term until a couple weeks ago. I may have. Dr. Walker has been doing a tremendous job of keeping me educated and informed. And Brother Angel Hutron as well, from social media standpoint. But I may have heard of that term before, but I'm not sure if I understood the concept of it like I do now. Asymptomatic is a medical term. It means producing or showing no symptoms of infection. I know Christians that show no symptoms of, well, I'll leave that for another night. Woo! But asymptomatic means no symptoms or infections. It doesn't mean you don't have it. Well, you can have it and your symptoms can be not as severe as others. I got a pastor friend that's got the COVID-19, him and his wife, and their symptoms haven't been as severe as others. Thank the Lord for that. But some folks get this by whom they become associated with or what they become exposed to. What you watch, what you engage in, will expose what's in your heart or get attached to you, and you become infected or affected by whatever you are associated with. Can I tell you, as an apostolic Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled Bible believing preacher, saint of God, Christian, we got to be careful because there's a spiritual war going on, and we got to avert the sinful lusts and desires that are coming our way. We got to make sure that we do not get caught up in being a stumbling block for somebody else. We got to understand that we, as the people of God, that we abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's been a waiting period that we've learned from time someone has been exposed until the more or less 14 days. The urgency of the quarantine isn't necessarily to protect the person that is affected or infected, it's to protect those around them from the virus that you hear, Pastor, tonight. Every time you speak, according to the experts, the virus is exiting your mouth and nose or sneeze, potentially. It's alive. It's a virus that is suspending in the area. The distance of it is important. You have to remain distant from folks that have it. Can I tell you, it's the same thing with sin. We got to remain distant from sin. We got to remain distant from carnality. We got to maintain a distance from folks that have a form of godliness but are denying the power thereof. Because you and I, friend, have been chosen, have been called. We love them. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner. We do everything we can to restore them, to revive them, to encourage them, to equip them, to pull them away. But can I tell you, saints of God, there's a spiritual war going on. There's a spiritual battle going on, even in the confines of your home. This week you have wrestled with some things that you never dreamed that you would wrestle with. It's because you've been called and chosen, and God is looking for a church and a people in this day and this hour, and people that will rise up and say, you know what? He called me and he chose me and I chose him all over again. Somebody give God a praise. Science and the medical world is working overtime. And our adversary is working overtime and has been working overtime. The science and medical professionals are doing a tremendous job doing what they can to slow or stop the spread of this virus in the areas that have been affected. People are dying. People are getting sick. It's affecting all of us in some way, form, or fashion, whether we have it or not. But we've learned to adapt. We've learned to endure. Yeah. We've learned to persevere, make adjustments, and we've learned to submit to people, places, and things, whether we agree with it, whether we could get a straight answer for something, because it's what's being requested of us. And if that does not convict us as an apostolic Pentecostal believer to be more firm, to be more stable, to be more convicted about our walk with God, that if we can do this because someone asked us, that doesn't know our name, that has never healed us, that didn't deliver us, that doesn't forgive us, that doesn't supply our need, can much more can we need to do and should be doing for the lover of our soul that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, because we've been chosen. We've been called for a purpose. Come on, somebody. You've been called and chosen for a purpose. The virus has changed so much, and it's not seen with a naked eye. It's killing people. But you know what else is killing people? Sin. Yeah. In fact, the payment and the penalty for sin is death. The scripture tells us in Romans 6:23, and I'm trying to hurry, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is not always seen with the naked eye. Come on, somebody. But notice what James 1:14 and 15 and 16 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then lust, when it has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. It starts, it's incubated, it begins to grow and to begin to develop. You don't always see the sin that's in your life. Well, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And then James 1:16 says, don't err, my beloved. Don't get it wrong. James is telling us. James, the brother of Jesus, the pastor, tells us. Don't get it wrong. Well, Pastor, it's just a lie. I'll repent. It's the little things that go on and grow and end up getting us into big trouble. You know, you don't always see the lust. You don't always see the bitterness, the pride. You don't always see the gossip. You don't always see the offended spirit. You don't always see the addictions. You can hide those things. You don't see the robbing of God or the immorality. You know, many times it's hidden. It's hidden. Those things that people hide in the confines of their phones, in their truck, or in the bathroom, and the computers. Things they hide in their bank accounts. The sins that are hidden from their parents. Hidden from teachers. And the sins that are hidden from bosses and spouses and loved ones. The addictions that are covered up with perfume. The sin that is covered up because it's done in private. The sin is done between two consenting adults, and it was done on vacation, and it was here a little and there a little, and the sin is kept within the confines of the home, but it's still sin, and God sees it all. The secret sins. In fact, it was the psalmist that tells us and declares in Psalm 19 and 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Come on, somebody. We don't always see the effects of sin. Sin isn't always exposed right away, but it's real, and the consequences of sin. We don't always protect ourselves from sin. I'm afraid, and I congratulate you, and I thank you, that we have been doing a great job of protecting ourselves, being conscious and aware of this virus. But I would submit to you tonight, can we take the same sense of urgency and awareness, commitment and dedication as we to fight this virus, to fight the devil, and to fight to get into hell? We need to avoid certain people, places, and we need to ensure that we know that we all have hurts, hang-ups, and habits. We know that, but we need to do everything we can to avoid sin, prevent sin, and not live in sin. Romans 6 and 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Not everything we are fighting can be seen. We don't always see the root of bitterness that lingers in our heart, but it's there, and God can deliver us from that just as easy as He said. Because God chose us for a purpose. Think about that. He called us. He loves us. He's forgiven us. Again, ¿cuántos dice otra vez? He restores us. Again, ¿cuántos dice otra vez? He protects us. We were not meant to live in darkness. He called us out of darkness. Chosen. God chose us. He's chosen you. Romans 8 and 5 tells us, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things after the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm so thankful tonight that I serve a God that is real and that His name is Jesus. We don't always see His handiwork. We don't understand, and we are already told in advance in Isaiah that we're not going to understand everything. We do a lot of speculating and assuming as humanity, but can I tell you, God is always working on our behalf, whether we realize it or not. He's loved us so much that He robed Himself in flesh and was born of a virgin. Come on, somebody. He died, but He rose again. He went to the cross and bled for our sins. He did that once and for all for everybody. I don't expect to understand everything, but I understand, and I know that sin is real. The devil is real. God is real, but repentance is real, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is real, and baptism in His name is real, and joy and life and peace of the Holy Ghost is real, and heaven is real, hell is real, and God is coming back for a people that are ready, and we've been called, we've been chosen, we've been appointed for such a time as this. Whoa, what a time, what a day, what an opportunity for us as the people of God that He chose us. I don't know why, but He did it. The all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sovereign, immutable God chose you, Brother Ronnie. He chose you. He called you, Sister Aguayo, and he chose you, Sister Torres, and Brother Bautista, Sister Violet, Brother DeRozic. He called and he chose us for such a time as this, Sister Castillo. He called us. He chose us, Brother Marquez. He chose us for such a time as this. It's not. Our God's a consuming fire, the scripture tells. Folks may not believe, but that's okay. Folks don't believe in the virus, but the virus is real. And it's killing people and it's infecting people. It's real, but so is God. So is repentance. So is love. So is mercy. So is the blessings of the Lord. So is His kingdom. It's real. Yes, it takes work to serve God, but it takes work to not get exposed to a virus that you can't see. Sure, holiness at times is a little bit difficult, but the scripture tells us to be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And God chose us, and He's coming back for a church that is holy, that is without spot or a blemish. And He's called us, He called us, He chose us for such a time. For such a time as this. Just like we've been working and planning, making effort, dealing with inconveniences, being careful, doing all the things that the CDC and professionals have asked us to do. It's the same thing with our walk with God. Did you read Proverbs 22 today? Did you pray today? Are you being faithful to God? Just like some things are off limits for us, there's some things that are off limits for us as Christians. There's some people that are off limits. They have to be quarantined. There's some people that spiritually need to get quarantined. There's some people that spiritually need to be off limits because they're carrying some things that you don't want to be exposed to. And until they can find an altar and a place of repentance, they need to deal with it. They need to stay away and bury those spirits, those attitudes, those ideologies. But can I tell you, we are called and chosen for such a time as this. We're the people of God. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. But notice this. Fellow citizens with the saints. Not the ain'ts. The saints. All the saints say amen. And of the household of God. Somebody say that's me. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2 and 20. I believe Brother Tony may be showing that. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a carnal. Where's my amen corner at? In whom of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We are citizens of the household with the saints and of the household of God. Notice verse 21. Fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We ought to be growing more holy, not less holy. Come on. It ought to be a lot easier to live holy right now than it ever been before. Because you should not be around so much temptation if you're living in your own home. You should have more time to pray and read your Bible. Whether you deemed yourself essential or not, right now ought to be the easiest time to live for the Lord. Ephesians 2 and 22, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God. Through His Spirit, He chose us to dwell in us. So when it says, stay away from, it says in the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, 10, 11, and 12 of our scripture text. You're chosen, which in times past were not a people, but now are a people. You have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Shield yourself, protect yourself, have some personal standards, have some, because God chose you. Transition. He called us to be saved, be light, not to blend in, but to stand out. Let's love it. Let's cherish it. Let's respect it. Let's count it an honor that He chose us, that He called us, that He's appointed us. By golly, I'm going to do everything I can to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Notice what the scripture says. Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation who God is the Lord. And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. So do we need to start spiritually disinfecting some things in our lives? Take another look at our walk with God, our church commitment, our faithfulness, our holiness, our anointing, and ensure that we're not contaminating what God has blessed us with or has asked us to. Come on, somebody. Your testimony, our conversation, our salvation was not meant to be hidden or wasn't just a one-hit wonder. It was to be who we are. 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit." Notice this. I've had folks tell me, "Pastor, when the church is open, I'm coming back to church and I'm not missing any more church. Pastor, I'm going to get things right when church opens up again." Really? We're still having church. You need to get things right tonight and today and keep them right. The Bible says today is this day of salvation. I commend you, faithful saints of God and visitors alike, and those that are watching and listening, for enduring, going through what we're going through, and keeping the faith and realizing that you're essential. Could I tell you here tonight something? God chose us on purpose for a purpose. Say that again. God chose you on purpose for a purpose. That's the God that we serve tonight. He's amazing and He's forgiving and He's loving and He's kind, but He's a just God. And as we stand tonight all around the sanctuary there in your homes, wonder if you would just begin to inspect, take a look at what you've been dealing with and what you've been facing, what's been going through your mind, what's been percolating in your heart and your spirit, and pray that God help me to have clean hands and a pure heart. Can we do that before they sing? But as Sister Michaela plays, as the musicians play, would you just begin to lift your voices and lift your hands? Would you help me, ladies? Would you help me pray? Father, we come before you right now. I love you, Jesus. Help me tonight, God, to seek you first the kingdom. Help me tonight, God, to not, God, be contaminated with sin and the filth of this world. Help me, oh God, to endure sound doctrine, God. Help me, God, to pursue righteousness and holiness, God. He's given you strength right now, saints. Some of you have been walking down a weary road, and I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Right where you are, if you would just lift your hands, the glory of the Lord will begin to fill your temple, your dwelling place. Come on, right now. Would you worship the Lord? Would you praise the Lord? Would you worship with them as they bless us in song tonight? Hallelujah.
I'm here.